This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalat wassalam ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathira. Rabbana laka alhamdu kama yanbaghi li jalali wajhik wa li azimi sultanik. سبحانك لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله it's a great honor to be here and share this stage with Dr. Hibri. May Allah reward her for her wise words and her very effective and much needed work both on the academic front, the legal front, and many other fronts that. How's that? And I was just saying that we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to bless Dr. Hibri with the work she's doing on so many different fronts, legally, academically, socially, culturally. And may Allah ta'ala bless all of you who've come from places far and wide to be here this evening. Historically, this was the time at the ISNA conference where not too much was happening. People usually took naps and ate dinner to get ready for tomorrow. But alhamdulillah, the organizers have had to endeavor to put these sessions together. I have a brief presentation, I think, that the technical people are working it out. So I'll just start. My understanding was that we were tasked with talking about the farewell address of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to link that with our own society, generally and specifically with the struggles of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. As you all know, this past Wednesday, August 28th, was the 50th anniversary of the I Have a Dream speech and the March on Washington, which is a very momentous event in the history of this country. Dr. King, in that speech, talked about his hope for the children. I had the opportunity at the convocation for Zaytuna College to talk about this, so I won't elaborate on it. But he talked about his dream that his four children would grow up in a country where they would be judged by not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. He talked about his dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, that the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners would sit down at the table of brotherhood. And he had several references to the children. I think it's very important for us to focus on that and not to forget that, because collectively, our generation could well be the first generation that, and this isn't an indictment against anyone here, I'm sure it's not applicable, but generally, if we look at what's happening to humanity, but particularly in this country, we can see that the quest for short-term gain, short-term profit, short-term material comfort, is leading us to sacrifice the interest of our children. We talk about the national interest, and to me that can be an extremely perverse. Right now it's in the national interest for the United States to bomb Syria, something I don't agree with. I definitely don't agree with the Assad regime, but I don't think bombing Syria is going to do anything to make that regime go away. I think it'll make it more vicious, more desperate, more bloodthirsty, and will exponentially increase the sum total of death and destruction in that land. That's just my personal belief. I don't believe that American militarism does anything to advance the interests of future generations. And I think it's something we should challenge. Rather, it is something we might deem beneficial to our interest in the short term or detrimental. We as an ummah are an ummah that increasingly, and again, this is a generalization, are being moved away from our principles. We say, and I'm going to talk about this, hopefully in the context of the presentation, we say that we're against killing innocent lives. But we invite random death and destruction that leads to innocent lives being slaughtered every time someone who says, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, puts a bomb in the mosque or the marketplace of a faction of Muslims they don't agree with. There were Muslims, and this is shameful in my estimation, as the innocent people in Egypt were being shot in the streets like dogs. There were people actually clapping and applauding who say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Am I making this up? There were people who say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, who go to the masjid to pray, who say, I'm happy. I'm happy. These people were trying to take over the country. There's too much of that. There are people, because Muslims we don't agree with were on the receiving end of the bombs, were happy when the American war machine rolled over Iraq, rolled over Afghanistan. They were happy. No, either we affirm the sanctity of innocent life, and this is one of the critical points that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made in his farewell address. The sanctity, the inviolable nature of human life. Karama is an organization that does a lot of wonderful work. Those roots, karama, are formed the basis of a word that appears in the Quran when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. I have ennobled the human being. And one way that Allah Ta'ala has ennobled the human being, He's made human life precious. لَا تَقْتُلُوا النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. Don't kill the life that Allah has made sacred, that Allah has made inviolable. Don't do it. And so either we believe in that as a principle, and if we believe in that as a principle, then we don't selectively apply the principle, because when we selectively apply principles, they're not principles anyway. They're justifications for our action. I believe innocent life should be spared, unless it's those people I don't like or agree with. And then we're justifying their deaths. Oh, if we say we don't support it, we don't support it. And it doesn't matter. There are Muslims who have issued fatwas that you can kill innocent Americans. You can go online and find them. An innocent person who never did anything to anybody, who might well be a Muslim, who might be a Muslim in the making. Every time I read that, I said, Allah forbid. I wasn't always a Muslim. I converted to Islam. And so that fatwa was against me before I converted. So we have to be people who are firm in the support of our principles. So they have the, this is the, just some points from the farewell address of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Said, O people, hear me well. I shall teach you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he described himself, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ مُعَلِّمًا. I was sent as a teacher. And in following his way, all of us should see ourselves as teachers. But as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he taught more with his state of being than he did with his words. He taught more with his state of being than he did with his words. And each and every one of us should see ourselves as one who teaches with his or her state before they open their mouths. Because a person can look in your face. They looked at the face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said that this is not the face of a liar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. If he said it, it's truthful because this isn't the face of a liar. So they became Muslims not based on, in some instances, on what he said. They became Muslims based on who he was and what he embodied in the very essence of his being. And so we should be people who embody something in the very essence of our being. One of our Shia teachers, a Sheikh, Mustafa al-Turkmani, rahimahullah, he's passed on now. When I was in Syria in better times in that country, he would often say to us, رَجُلٌ ذُو حَال يُؤَثِّرْ عَلَى أَلْفِ رَجُلٍ وَأَلْفُ رَجُلٍ بِلَا حَال لَا يُؤَثِّرُونَ عَلَى وَاحِدٍ. He said, a single person with a strong spiritual state can affect 1,000 people. But 1,000 people who have no refinement and no real depth to their state cannot affect a single person. So each and every one of us should be striving to refine ourselves so that we are that one person who can affect 1,000 or 10,000 or 1,000,000 or whatever the case may be. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he caught our attention. And he said, I can't read it too well here, the angle's too sharp, that I may well not meet you again in this place where I now stand after this year of mine. And so he's reminding us, amongst other things, tomorrow is promised to no one. Tomorrow is promised to no one. So don't wait to tomorrow to do some good. Be a person who dedicates his or her life to good. Be a person who dedicates his or her life to good. Be a person who tries to increase in the good that they extend to others every opportunity that he or she might have. Don't wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow is promised to no one. كُنْ فِي الدُّنْيَا كَأَنَّكَ غَارِبَ عَابِرُ السَّبِيلِ. Be in the world as if you're a stranger or a wayfarer. And you never know when that journey through this world is going to end. Do good now. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of my favorite hadith, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أُطْلُبُ الْخَيْرَ دَحْرَكُمْ كُلَّهِ. Seek good every moment you spend on this earth. أُطْلُبُ الْخَيْرَ دَحْرَكُمْ كُلَّهِ. Seek good every moment you spend on this earth. And if the multitude of us approach life in this fashion, we won't have to worry about countering the stereotypes and the bigotry, because we will be creating so much positive energy that negativity will be drowned out. Because it's all about energy at the end of the day. That negativity will be drowned out. So he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we've interspersed, this is the mother of a Muslim American soldier in grief. And he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O people, your lives and your property until the very day you meet your Lord are as inviolable to each other as the inviolability of this day you are in now, or you are now in, and this month you are now in. So he emphasizes, we said, the sanctity of life. Inviolable, you cannot violate it. He said in another context, specifically addressing Muslims, كل المسلم على المسلم حرام. Every Muslim's life is sacred to their fellow Muslim. In other words, مَا دَمُهُ وَمَالُهُ وَعِرْدُهُ. His life, property, and honor. In other words, to violate any of those, to transgress in any of those ways against the life, the property, or honor of a Muslim is as forbidden as eating pork. Kullu al-Muslim, al-Muslimi haram. It's like eating pork, it's like drinking alcohol, it's like fornicating, committing adultery. It's forbidden. It is forbidden. And we have to internalize that meaning, because as we can see throughout the Muslim world, how sometimes other Muslims, how cheaply they hold the lives, property, and honor of other Muslims. This is something we cannot accept, brothers and sisters. And believe me, the same forces, because at the end of the day, the enemy is Iblis. The enemy is Shaitan. And that enemy is not confined to the Middle East. The same forces that have torn apart Muslims in the Muslim world can tear apart our community right here. The same sectarian divisions can take root right here if we're not vigilant. We have to be vigilant. And one way that we are vigilant is being mindful of the words of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and internalizing those meanings so that they influence and impact on our behavior, so that they form an integral part of our consciousness, that we don't even think at any level of doing anything that will harm our fellow Muslim or harm an innocent human being, regardless of their religion. When we lose touch with our principles, this is an image of Dresden after it was firebombed by the forces of the Allies, by the Americans and the British, primarily. Primarily the Americans. Aerial bombardment, where whole cities of innocent people become targets of warfare. Most of those people didn't do anything to anybody. But the same people who wrote the lofty words that we read in our Declaration of Independence, in our Constitution, in the spirit of the laws, and all of these other foundational documents that were instrumental in bringing about the current so-called democratic order. They were the people that did this, not the fascist forces, not the communist forces of Stalin, not the fascist forces of Hitler or Mussolini. These were the forces of democracy. This is what happens when we lose touch with our principles. And this is what our Prophet is warning us against. This is Hiroshima after the nuclear bombing of Tokyo. One bomb brought about all of that destruction and the accompanying death. 100,000 people killed in an instant. And those who didn't die immediately, poisoned, radioactive poison. Again, this wasn't Mussolini, this wasn't Hitler, this wasn't Stalin, this was Truman, this was the United States Air Force. This is what can happen when we lose touch with our principles, and Muslims are not immune from that. There are some Muslims who, if they could get their hand on an atomic bomb, would like to see that be Washington, D.C. or New York City. And all of the hundreds of thousands of innocent people residing therein. It's unacceptable. This is what we have the power to unleash on the world. The dreaded mushroom cloud. The only thing that will prevent this is Hiroshima. I think the previous image was Tokyo after it was firebombed. How many of you know anything about the firebombing of Tokyo? At that point, Tokyo was largely constructed of wooden houses. We specially designed incendiary bombs to ensure that as much fire damage as possible could be done. This is why it's called the firebombing of Tokyo, the dropping of incendiary bombs on Tokyo. Between these three events, Hiroshima, you see here, after a single bomb was dropped on it, Nagasaki and Tokyo, over 300,000 human beings, most of them, the overwhelming majority of them, innocent civilians, were murdered. We have the power to wreak more destruction than this upon the world. And this is why it's absolutely essential that each and every one of us commit ourselves to the preservation and the protection of human life that Allah Ta'ala has made sacred. Don't kill the life that Allah has sanctified. This is Vietnam. Burned chemical weapons. There's a city in Vietnam, Da Nang, where to this day, a large percentage of babies are born with birth defects from Agent Orange. What is Agent Orange? It's a chemical defoliant based on dioxins that strips the leaves off of trees so there wouldn't be anywhere for the enemy soldiers to hide. An area the size of the state of Connecticut was defoliated in Vietnam. And the ground, the water, in some instances, is poisoned to this day. This is what human beings can do. And this is what we must commit ourselves not to do. Because again, the agents, the napalm, has been replaced by white phosphorus. The atom bomb has been replaced by thermonuclear bombs, exponentially more destructive. And if we do not have a set of principles, our ability to spy has outstripped the constitutional protections of our privacy. So we have to elevate the foundation of our social contract. If we're going to live in a world of peace and harmony where it's possible. This is Beirut, cover of Time magazine, 1892. The Israeli bombardment of Beirut to chase out a few thousand Palestinian fighters, 25,000 people dead. And as Walter Cronkite famously commented, when the bombing reaches its height, it looks like hell on earth. We have to do our part, brothers and sisters. We have to do our part. This is New York, 9/11. We can debate who was behind this, but we know someone did it. Someone who had no regard for innocent human life. Iraq. Well over a million people dead. A million innocent people because of this conflict, which goes on to this day. Places like Rwanda, Congo, the Darfur, and Africa. The Congo has witnessed more death than Iraq, Afghanistan, and all of that combined. And that conflict is still going on. Massive rapes. Where girls from 6 years old to elderly women 60 years old, then in some instances gang raped, tied to a tree, and repeatedly raped. These are the depths of depravity a human being can sink to. And what our prophet Palestine from 1948 to who knows when, one operation after another, innocent people killed and slaughtered. These are words from a poem. Allahumma salli rasulillah. I can't read the top part. The only way to a path to peace lasting and real, a peace based on a simple word, mankind, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not kill. And as Muslims, and I'll stop here, my time is up, and we'll leave it here. But brothers and sisters, I firmly believe that as a community, we are here for a purpose. We're not just here to make money. We're not just here for education. We're here for higher purposes. And one of those purposes is in the voice, and to come back to Dr. King. Dr. King left the mall in Washington in frustration. And he moved on to wage a war against what he described in this country as the three evil triplets of racism, militarism, and poverty. He went from the mall to the south side of Chicago, where he was stoned and spat on in Marquette Park, almost lost his life fighting against racism. Then he went to Memphis, where he did lose his life. What was he fighting in Memphis? He was fighting poverty, sanitation workers, the garbage men. He was fighting on behalf of the garbage men in Memphis, Tennessee, helping them to get a living wage. He was fighting for the poor. He was fighting against militarism. He was fighting against racism. That's what he was doing. And he lost his life. And I firmly believe as a community, we are here to take up that fight. That we are here on the basis of our Islamic principles to take up the fight against racism, militarism, and poverty. Not just here in this country, throughout this world. To do that, though, we have to equip ourselves with the weapon of lofty principles. We have to equip ourselves with a healthy dose of realism and reality, and to realize that violence is not going to accomplish anything positive when violence, the means at our disposal, are so destructive. And to take that message to our fellow citizens, to take that message to the world. And if we can do that, we will be a great community. We will be a meaningful community. We will be a strong community. And we will be a community that has divine providence filling ourselves as we move forward. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum. So we're going to close in just a minute. I just wanted to allow Dr. Aziza to have one comment before we conclude.
I'd like to make two quick comments. One of them is to mention your remarks about Vietnam and the defective children that were born there and continue to be born. We don't hear, for example, about the fact that after the Iraqi war, in the whole Gulf area now, we have defective children and stillborn children. I'm sure there is something comparable in Afghanistan and parts of Pakistan. There must be where these shells are being exploded. If we now encourage military invasion in Syria, in that area, we're not just talking about a regime, we're not just talking about a country, we're talking about that whole area of Muslims, again having defective children. I'd like to know, where are the Muslim wholesome children going to grow? The second note I'd like to give you is a historical one. We are celebrating today the 50th anniversary of I Have a Dream speech. And there is a major absent figure in this discussion, because we have been presented with the history of civil rights movement as one where there were adversarial leaders. You had King on one side teaching peaceful change, and then our brother Malcolm teaching violence. And that is, we are the ones here to stand up and say, that is wrong. And I was honored to meet a brother, Malcolm, Malik Shabazz, in the 60s in Beirut, Lebanon. And we had a chat about Martin Luther King. And he told me, he said, we're not far apart at all. We've met once and we're about to meet again. And we are both coming into a convergence because we see the economic issues, poverty, as you have highlighted it, racism, and a few other things. We're seeing it and we have to work together. So we need to celebrate, actually, the fact that those leaders work together and not allow the media to present us with a vision which has been sanitized in certain ways to preserve certain interests. And one day I dream that we will celebrate a day for Malik Shabazz in this country. Wassalamu alaikum.